I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome each one to continue worshiping with us here. I'm glad for the privilege of once again gathering here in the house of God this morning. For those of you that weren't here the last time I preached, or maybe if you don't recall what I preached on the last time I shared a message on grief and on working through grief. And as I sat in the service that morning in Sunday school, I just felt a need to continue on and to follow on and bring a message on hope, on the resurrection, because as a verse we'll read later on this morning says that we do not sorrow as those that have no hope. And as Christians, we know that death is not the end, but we have hope of eternal life on the other side. And as I thought a little more, I don't know how good your memories are, but 2 years ago, it's pretty much 2 years ago, that I stood before you here for the first time, and I preached a message on heaven. And a couple days later, we had a special service here, and we laid one of our members to rest in the cemetery, Brother Jerry. And, you know, as I thought about that and look back on that, it's a comfort to know that Brother Jerry, I'm confident where Brother Jerry is this morning because of the testimony that he left before he passed on. And I'm sure it's a comfort to you as family that are here and the rest of us that knew him well. And as we lay our loved ones to rest like that, what is it that comforts us in the time like that? And I thought of sometimes when there's illness and the person has been suffering a lot of pain, sometimes it's a relief, we know they're not suffering anymore. And sometimes someone with severe handicap, they're not hindered and held back by the frustrations that go with that. But isn't it the comfort to us as we think about this and we know our family, our friends, we have the assurance that they are free from all that held them back in this life, free from sin, no longer subject to them temptations. They are at rest and at peace. Now, so I'd like to go on with that. My title this morning is The Reality of the Resurrection. The resurrection is real. Jesus has happened. Jesus' resurrection was a real event in history. And there is a final real resurrection coming soon. As I thought on this, we think of laying our loved ones to rest. And what a blessing it is when we have hope and have been convinced by the way they live that they are now in heaven, in eternal bliss. And I don't know all your experiences. I couldn't think of anything, but I can't think of anything worse than to sit at a funeral sermon and to know that this person is not in eternal bliss. And if you have had this experience personally, may God continue to pour his grace on you, heal you, and may you be able to rest in the sovereignty of God. And again, just the comfort it is to know when our loved ones have made their calling and election sure. And where does this hope come from? Is it not the knowledge of Christ's resurrection, his victory over death, that gives us the courage to go on? Hebrews 6:19, talking of the resurrection, says, "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." An anchor, something that grounds us, something that holds us steady against storms, against currents that would drift us from side to side. Have you ever stopped to think about what your perception of the resurrection would be if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? If no one had ever risen from the dead. You think about the Old Testament people in their setting. As I studied It seemed like they had a belief in the resurrection, in a final resurrection, that one day all people would stand before God. But to them, I think it was something very remote, far away, seemed distant out in the future. I'll just go down here briefly through some verses that I read, found in the Old Testament, and what some of the Old Testament saints believed. First of all, I don't have a verse here, but Abraham, in Hebrews 11, it says that he believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. The occasion when Abraham was called to offer his son up, he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead because he had promised that God was going to make a nation that would descend from Isaac. Job had a belief in the resurrection. Job 19, verses 25 to 27. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job believed that he would rise, that there would be a resurrection, that he would see God face to face one day. Psalm 17:15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Thought here is, again, of the resurrection. David believing that he would awake in the image of God. Isaiah 26, verse 19, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Again, dead men living again. They will rise again from the dead. I'd like to turn now to John chapter 11, read part of the account of Lazarus. Here, remember this was, again, before Jesus died and rose from the dead. Remember, this was Old Testament as such. They didn't think of the resurrection as we do. John 11, verse 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" When I read this, and this is a familiar account to us, when I read this in the past, I always looked at this from my perspective, that we know Jesus rose from the dead. And I always thought Martha's answer here was, yes, I believe that he will rise from the dead, was an answer of faith, that yes, she believes in the resurrection. But remember what I said about this being before Jesus' resurrection. I think this was an answer of doubt. This looked way out in the future to her. Yeah, I know he'll rise at the last day, but you know, that's way out there. I don't think it brought a comfort to her as it does to us today. And Jesus answered her as, I am the resurrection and the life. I am here. I have the power over death, the power to raise people. Notice Jesus' words in verse 26, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe this? I believe there was maybe an inkling of faith here, but I still think it was hard for her to grasp. And each of us, as we have stood beside an open grave and we watch the shovelfuls cover the grave, and it's our loved one or the remains of our loved one in there, do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe that this body is actually now in the presence of God in eternal life and bliss and not dead in the ground like this? And this is actually a foundational something we need to face for each of us. And there have been plenty of people around that do not believe in the resurrection. You think of the Sadducees. I read up on them a little bit, and they didn't believe in anything in the spirit world. Didn't believe in angels and spirits, in the afterlife, any of that. Not in the resurrection. They believe in it now, by the way, but they didn't at that point. Also, Thomas, he didn't believe that Jesus had risen until he would see the physical evidence of his resurrection. He said, if I can't put my finger into those nail prints in his hands. I don't have the exact word there. Do we have physical evidence of the resurrection today? I believe we do. If we can't look and see Jesus and see his hands with the nail holes through them, but we can see the effects of the resurrection in each of our lives today. And I believe the resurrection is a proven fact. First of all, you go to the reaction of the chief priests to the soldiers after Jesus rose from the grave. But I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We could spend quite a bit of time in this chapter. For now, I'll just start reading in verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I believe we have evidence of the resurrection in the life of the disciples, the early church, as they base their very lives on the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. If you're not convinced of something, you're not willing to go to death for it. And why, if they weren't convinced of that, why would they go to that? And can you imagine, as we've read in the verses here, of living the Christian life without hope beyond the grave? And I've heard that some people have said that the Christian life is worth living just for what we get out of it in this life. And I suppose maybe there's a side to that. The inner peace that we have of knowing, being right with God. The fellowship we have with believers is a blessing. But how about the other things, the trials that come to us because of our faith? And maybe that's not as real to us as to some other people, but if you have faced physical persecution, the death of loved ones, how do you cope with that without hope beyond the grave? Isn't it miserable? Isn't it like Paul says here that we are of all men most miserable if we do not have hope beyond the grave? And so, how do you actually face death realistically without the hope of the resurrection? I think our society goes to great lengths to avoid this. And two reasons for that. Number one is they are not right with God. And number two is if they do not believe in God, so then there is no hope of a future. And so why it's hard to face that just at the end of life is the end. And so they cremate, they don't have a service, or the service turns into a storytelling session. I think that is all ways of avoiding looking at death realistically. Let's turn to, we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 15, but let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Again, here, I'd mentioned this in the beginning, but these verses are given here for our comfort. We would not sorrow, that we would have hope of life, of eternal life, and hope that our loved ones are in a place of bliss, in the presence of God, and free from pain and suffering. And what we find in these verses that is a comfort to us, first thing is we know that those that have passed on and are saved are now in the presence of Jesus. We have, from this scripture and those we read, we have this confidence that they are there in the presence of God. You can think of the scene that Jesus portrays where Lazarus died and was resting in Abraham's bosom. He was in a place of rest. Also, we have here that the faithful will be reunited at the resurrection. It says we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. And we will be with the Lord throughout all eternity. Just mentioning what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. It says Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, the beginning, the very first. And you think of, you go out in the garden and in the spring and you find that first ripe strawberry and you pick that first ripe strawberry and you eat it, and it is so good after eating those California ones from Safeway. It's so good. And you think of all the green ones on the vines and you are looking forward to eating a whole bowl full of good ripe garden fresh strawberries. And so I think we see Jesus, his resurrection, and we look forward with anticipation a lot more than a good bowl of ripe strawberries to the day when we as well can leave this earthly body behind and be caught up together with our loved ones and spend eternity with Jesus. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, moving on a little bit, there is a final resurrection day for us all. And this is something that we are all going to face, whether we have died or are still here on the earth. And we will, this body that we have that is so imperfect, we will change that for an incorruptible body. No more death. Final victory over sin. Because of God's work through Jesus Christ and his suffering and death and his resurrection from the dead. Freedom from that. And so we need to consider this seriously. Christ giving us the hope of eternal life through his work and being the first fruits of the resurrection. But we all still have this final judgment to face. And there is not one of us that is going to escape this. Some references here. Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Behold, he cometh with clouds. This is Revelation 1:7. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Sorry, I got my notes mixed up here. So as we have just read, there is a great day coming, a final day where we will all stand before the judge of the earth. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so this is a very, very sobering thing, and something that each of us cannot escape facing at one point or other in our lives. That one day, each of us, it says, small and great, everyone has to stand before God and give account for what he has done in this life. And we will be judged out of the books, the deeds that we have done and haven't done. And Matthew 25 refers to this as the shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. The righteous will be divided from the unrighteous. And after this, there is no more chance to make things right in our lives. And so today, have we allowed the resurrection, the reality of that to focus, to take the focus of our lives? Have we believed that and given our hearts to that? You know, if you really believe in something, it changes your life. Changes the way you go about things. And if we believe that there is going to be a final resurrection, we are going to be ready for it to the best of our ability. And so, what are we doing? What have we done to make preparation for that final day that is coming to us? And that day of judgment is going to, it affects us all. And to some, it's going to be a day of gladness and rejoicing, and they are redeemed from sin. Some, it's going to be a day of anguish. There's no more opportunities to make things right with God. And for many, there is sadness because the day of judgment is going to be a day of partings for many people. But God has promised to these that he will wipe away the tears from their eyes. And so, may we in this day, when we still have these days of opportunity, may we live our lives, may we look forward to that resurrection and embrace that with our lives and be ready for that day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And may we each be ready for that great day. Let's kneel for prayer.